Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence and have been, Lord, through the word, based upon the fact of the manifestation of your presence, which we realize is the same in the form of the Holy Spirit as it was when you were here in the form of flesh and abode in that temple, in order that there might be a complete redemption through blood for a bride church. And we thank you for that, Lord. We appreciate your presence today, knowing the pillar of fire will lead us in to the millennium, but also, Lord, knowing that when he said in your scripture, when he has come, he would teach you all things and lead you into all truth. And we know, Lord, though that was given for the day of Pentecost, yet it did not really begin to mature to the point of reality of truth until that same pillar of fire appeared to the Apostle Paul, bringing him the revelation. And now with the end time revealing that which was only spoken and given, but not truly given to the people as a revelation. So we count it, Lord, that we are in this end period, and the Holy Spirit himself is now teaching us all things very truly so. And by the same token, we have become one, even as your own word is said in that day, we would be one with you, even as you are one with the Father, and we in each other. So we thank you for that, Lord, and accept it to the best of our ability at this point, trusting our faith will grow, Lord, as the word is revealed more and more to us, and we have more and more of that life in us, apart from the life which is normal to people, that supernatural life, Lord, which is of you. And may it be even more so this morning, even than it was last Wednesday, and increasing as time goes on, or until the resurrection and the immortal changes unto the very rapture and the wedding supper of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 22, and the spoken word is original seed, and as we continue, we must never forget that Brother Branham, in this message, which is entitled The Spoken Word of God and by God, is not only the Word of God, but it is by God, is the conceptual root or the source of all that can or will come forth and finally endure in its fulfillment and manifestation. Because what comes forth is predestinated to be exactly that. Because the Word of God cannot return to him void or unfulfilled. Now, I hope you're getting what I read, because these preambles are very necessary, in my estimation, to consolidating the truth that Brother Branham is giving us in his concise and deliberate a manner as possible. We must not forget that Brother Branham, in this message, which is entitled The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, you are talking about the Word. He is talking about the Word, and we are listening to it. And he is saying that the spoken Word of God and by God himself, even as Paul said, is the conceptual root. In other words, is where it all starts as a source and begins to come forth. And it is the only word that is going to finally endure. Finally endure. See? To its fulfillment, which is its manifestation, because what comes forth is predestinated to be exactly that. What do you mean by exactly that? Exactly what God said. Because it is the Word of God and cannot return unto him void, it must be fulfilled. Now, there is something right there that you have to understand. So we go further. Thus, it is the Word of God spoken, which utterance came from his wisdom or foreknowledge, that is elected amongst all other words. Now, it's before all other words, as all preeminence, just the same as God himself. It has that preeminence. And yet we know that after that word came, other words sprung up. And the other words became a perversion of the truth. So now we're looking at it again. It is the Word of God spoken, In other words, it's uttered. Which utterance? Spoken word of God came from one place only, his wisdom or foreknowledge. It had to be there before it was spoken. And it's elected. It's the chosen amongst all other words to come to a certain prescribed and unalterable destination, whereas all other words fail to endure and either wither and die or cast into the fire. Now, if you caught the thought I was reading to you, you will notice that all other words fail to endure. They cannot endure, and the word alone will come to its certain prescribed and unalterable destination. In other words, God's word will come to pass 100%. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. There can be no deviation. There can be nothing added to it to make it better. There can be nothing taken away which would in any way harm it. It is exactly as it is, and nothing can be done about it, because God is behind his word, and he will see to it. And whatever that word speaks, remember there's going to be a manifestation. And as you think of this, remember that the Bible is written concerning God and his family. Never mind the things round about you. They're incidental, although consequential to you. They're simply incidental. Now, to see this plainly, let us go back to Genesis, where Brother Branham took us, but not to this particular scripture as I'm looking at it. 1:26-27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now you notice in this particular concept here, man was made in the image. He's supposed to come to a certain absolute destination, which he must come to. And you realize that this is the spoken word of God himself. And at this particular time, man is not involved. He's not even here. He's merely starting on his journey from the foreknowledge or the omniscience, the thoughts of God. And God said, this is what this man has to be. So there's no way that you can change this, because these are the spoken words of God. Thus, there has to be a people predestinated to fulfill this. And, of course, you know that you go to the book of Genesis, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, you'll notice in there that it said, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him, he shall put him, have put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." You're looking at that seed, spoken word seed, coming into full manifestation, and it can only come in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the spoken word of Genesis 1:26 is literally manifested, or literally to be manifested, as a people of this caliber. And the caliber, of course, is the image of God with complete dominion. And you're looking at then God and his family of sons, which you might call demigods, because when he spoke this and then started them on the journey absolutely has to come to the fulfillment of the reigning and ruling over the earth. And remember, God then blessed them. In other words, the blessing of God is upon them in order that they reach this complete fulfillment of His spoken word. And there may be an interruption, but there cannot be a deviation. Now, this is the thing that most people don't want to receive. They don't want to receive that this is absolutely the predestinating word of Almighty God, which every word must be fulfilled, completely manifested. Now, remember what I said a while ago, there's no word like this. So we go to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and verses 1-5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Okay, 8, beginning at 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked?" Now somebody see, there's a lot of talk going on here. Something, some people, some things, beings other than God are talking. He said, who told you? "Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So here is a word that is not spoken by God. Now watch the word spoken by God in contradistinction to the word not spoken by God. All right? Let's go to Revelation, because that's where you're going to see the Omega of the Alpha. And you go to Revelation chapter 20, and you begin reading at verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image." Now, where does image worship and beast worship start? It starts by listening to one word off, where Satan begins to meddle with the word. And just like God, he's got to use people. "Neither had received his mark in the forehead or in his hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now notice in there, these who did not have the word of God perverted to them, because that's what you're looking at. "For the witness of Jesus, the seed that should have come to Eve, but did not come through sin, the witness to him, the resurrected Son of Almighty God, and the Word." And you notice they are reigning and ruling. Now, let's read on. "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. Now listen again. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." I notice there's another death thrown in here. They go through the first death, which is a mortal dying, because you expire here, but you go on to a form of a spirit form. Then you come back in the resurrection, and you have two kinds of bodies. There could be three kinds, I'm not positive. Because we know the bride has a body exactly like his, wise virgin. Whether the foolish virgin get a body exactly like that, as they're given life, I cannot say. I doubt it very, very much. But they will be given a commensurate to their glory. And remember, the stars, the sun, and moon speak of a glory. So you'd have number one, the great glory of Almighty God in the pillar of fire. You have the Lamb upon the throne, which is the glory manifesting now in a human body. And you have the bride there, and 144,000. There again, the 144,000 are not true. They are virgins, but they are not wise virgins as far as we know, and yet they could be 100% within there. I don't know all the ramifications, but I do know, according to Paul, 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, he uses the stars and he uses the moon and the sun, and he says, so also is the resurrection. So, okay, you've got a gradation. Now, the bride has bodies glorious like unto him, but remember, they will not be comparable in the sense of the ultimate. That is not possible. So you're looking at this. You're looking at what we're seeing here now at the end time. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Now, we're talking about that second death. And that is where the people have bodies commensurate to the lake of fire, where they could be for thousands of years or millions of years, or they could be annihilated instantly. I don't know. Brother Branham's not just suggested, not just intimated, but as far as I know, made an exact statement concerning there would be a time that they would be there. You link that to the Bible, that would then be according to what they have done, which is despot to the spirit of grace, what they have done turning the word of God aside, what they have done like Pharaoh and Stalin and Hitler and all of these guys, the Genghis Khans, and they're just a few of them. They're just the ones in history that look big. If you really want to get to the sleazeballs, you get the guys like Bertrand Russell, the great British philosopher, liar, sleazeball, sleazebag, who's the guy that initiated companionate marriage, which is now called shacking up. Do you know it came from Bertrand Russell? Well, you're learning if you didn't know before. And what about the great Mr. Clinton? What about Canada? How many years was the great Mackenzie King, the prime minister, utterly controlled by Spiritism? If you thought Ronald Reagan was being controlled by his wife, was controlled by Spiritism, what are you going to do about Canada now? How many years was Mackenzie King the prime minister? Controlled by spirits. And during that liberal time, who was the big shot in immigration? A Roman Catholic priest bringing in all the Catholics. Now, my question is, who's going to get more time in the lake of fire, Hitler or one of those boys? Well, I'm just bringing the question up. But I want you to look at it. See what we're looking at here. They're going to be annihilated. Now watch what it says here. But they, these people, shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him. Now that's what I'm looking at. The word of the Lord only endures. Now this is the reason why Brother Branham is bringing this message, a spoken word is original seed. Because only those who are in the original are going to be the fulfillment of this word, because this word is not only spoken about, but speaks into existence those people he's talking about. When he said, be fruitful and multiply, and subject the earth unto you, and rule and reign over it. Now, let's go to the 11th verse of the same chapter. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, And the dead were judged out of those things that are written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Annihilation. So, we're looking at this word in the light of its reality and not in the light of a denominational dogma and what anybody thinks. Like Brother Branham said, in the light of his revelation which was vindicated, you ain't got a think coming. That's not only bad English, but it really sounds horrible to those who'd like to think that they can think and they can barter with God. Can't do it. Let's look at 21 Revelation. 1 to 8, and I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Wasn't that what he said in the beginning? Right. And that's at the end. And God shall wipe away all tears in their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my sons. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable... They're afraid to come to the Word. They don't believe it when they do come near it. And they're abominated. False religions typified by women wearing men's clothes. Murderers. Did you know a woman wearing men's clothes, that's as bad as murder. It's worse. Oh, I can't believe that. Hey, you don't have to believe anything. See, I'm not here to persuade anybody. I'm talking to those that do believe. Don't offend anybody. But I believe in the vindicated prophet, and he said it. As far as I'm concerned, everything else is just guesswork. This is not guesswork any longer. Idolaters, liars, have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, in contradistinction, the word of God alone is inviolable, unalterable, must become in a reality of manifestation according to the reality that is in it, which is God. It can't fail. There will be a people. And there will be another people. There will be those that will be annihilated and those that will go on and on and on in the eternity of God. Now notice carefully that all words are judged by the word, the sword. We go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes with him with whom we have to do. Now, I would hate to wait until the white throne to have that proven to me. I would sooner believe it now than be a part of that which is elect. But let me tell you this, if I have not been born to it, I will never get there. In order to further see the point of predestination which the prophet emphasized and most people reject, let us just quickly go back to Ephesians, the third chapter, first chapter, 3-6, and it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, where was the choosing? The choosing was of those in him and nobody else. And before the world began, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us under the placing of children, the stacking of cordwood. You know what that placing of children really means? The stacking of cordwood? Just like you stack cordwood. In plain English, your will is not involved. It is the will of God that is everything. And you couldn't escape if you tried, because you wouldn't want to escape. Therefore, you wouldn't try anyway, because there's a deep calling to deep. But just like cordwood. See, the placing of sons is not that you come up to God and say, "Here I am, Lord, take me." Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. So he's telling you here it's all a matter of grace. And as Brother Branham said, you don't have a think coming. But isn't it pitiful? So many people want to have, they got a think coming, and they don't have it coming. It is a matter of grace. So he says here, having predestined us on the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself. Now you notice in this here, that you are not taking aside the fact that Adam and Eve were the progenitors of the human race, which was God's own race. But notice, it has to come by him, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to Richard's grace, wherein he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and in prudence. Now, therefore, this being the wisdom of Almighty God. Now, let's go right back to Genesis. In the wisdom of Almighty God, God said, "Let us make man in our own image. And after the likeness of God created he them, male and female created he them." Turns right around and says, "Now, look here. You're going to reign and rule in the earth. But here's the point. This is how it is done." And the Alpha includes this statement that God made way back there. All right, we were looking at Ephesians, the third chapter, first chapter 3-6, which is the fulfillment of Genesis 1:26. So therefore we see that when God said, "Let them have dominion," this allowance on the part of God absolutely was predicated or foreknown, predestinated upon the seed which is Christ, as I just mentioned here. Thus we see that the predestination of man to reigning over the earth was the predestination of Jesus. And here is the mystery as to why Brother Branham kept saying the seed which Eve should have borne was Christ. And it is true, because that is the only way the bride will ever reign and rule. And remember, this is not a substitute. This is not an overhaul of the Word of God. This is not those Trinitarians saying, "God, oh, God great and God powerful, he made man, and oh, the devil came in there, and he upset God's plan." And so the three gods got together, and the Father God said, "Oh, who will go and take care of this terrible mess?" And number two God, which is the Son, said, "Oh, I will go down and do it." That's an overhaul job. Huh? Can't you see the fallacy of anything outside of predestination? Can't you see a God doing flip-flops? Can't you see a God like Bill Clinton making a lot of promises, and then as soon as a gay group comes up or another group, he backs off, he runs around, he jumps? Oh, come on. I couldn't believe that if you paid me $1 million. Had Eve obeyed the word, then had Christ come forth, all the rest would have come fully like him, and the ruling would have been fulfilled. But with interrupting the plan of God, we have to wait for the fulfillment of both halves of the out-resurrection for all the foreknown and elect to reach or attain to their predestination of ruling and reigning. Now, you see, that's a mystery that Paul took right back to Genesis, and Brother Branham explained it. Now, going back to the beginning before Eve got off the word and consequently Adam joined her, we find both Adam and Eve at their entering into and inhabiting Eden. Now watch this carefully. I want to go back over it. Now going back to the beginning where Eve got off the word. Now she's here with Adam. They're not off the word. So there's this space in here. Now they get off the word. Now, you listen to me carefully, because this means an awful lot. Going back to the beginning, before Eve got off the word, and consequently Adam joined her, we find both Adam and Eve at that interim period there, where they were at that particular time. See? Between life and death, they were believers of the Word and Spirit. Now, that's what they were. They were believers of the Word and the Spirit. And it must be so at the end, because Alpha is Omega. Now, just a minute. We're looking at the entire complex of sin now. So there's got to come a time, an interim, before you go into this righteousness. Understand what I'm saying? All right, let's go to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and see it. There's an interim. And you'll notice in verse 10, "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." What time is at hand? That book opened, because it says, seal it not. It's open between Revelation 10 and 4 says, seal it. Revelation 22 and 10 says, don't seal it. So it's open. There's an interim time. Now watch. He that is unjust, unjust still. Now everybody categorized there. Holy, Odyssea. Filthy, filthy. Right now it says, righteous, righteous. So something has happened. There's a period in there. Now, that period I spoke of is when Adam and Eve and the Word and the Spirit were one. Huh? Christ, the bride, one Spirit, one Word. They're standing there. Now, they're in the balance. Do we go on and bear the seed and fulfill this? Or do we flop to the side of unrighteousness and go through this? Now, in spite of an interruption, the word must be fulfilled because it's predestinated, and that predestination is according to the seed of God that is predestinated. They are word seeds. They got to come forth reigning and ruling. So there is a period there. Now, it was this particular interim that was the door between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or of life and death, where they were one with the Spirit and Word. So it must be today. Right? You've got to come back to where there is a neutral area. Now, Brother Branham said in 1956, America missed its chance. I will no longer pray for her. She is condemned. Now, there had to be a neutral spot in there. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who is on the Lord's side? Are you choosing life or death? That's when the word came forth concerning the entering into the millennium. Make your choice now. Right there. Pillar of fire manifested, they blew it. So it must be today. And this elect Lady Eve is now the New Jerusalem in her final stages, going into the millennium. Brother Branham brings this out on page 42. We'll look at it subsequently. So as we go on, we shall very shortly see how Genesis 3, 17 to 19. Now let's go in there. We are talking about word. We are talking about seed. We are talking about a planting. We are talking about a maturing, a harvest, a ripening. Now, let's go to Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, a wrong voice, a voice contrary to God's voice. That's why Brother Branham said, when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard a voice behind him, and the Bible said he looked around to see the voice. You can't see a voice, you hear a voice. So Brother Branham told us what it was. John turned to see if it was a scriptural voice. And if it wasn't scriptural, forget it. I'm not interested. He listened to the voice of his wife and ate of the tree, which was commanded, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now watch. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Now, especially it says, thorns also and thistles, it shall bring forth to thee. Now, just a minute. They weren't there previously. As Brother Branham said, how they got there, we might not know. But they were there. And remember, they could not come forth until a certain time relative to the rejection of the word. Huh? Now, they were other seeds. You saw the Garden of Eden bearing the herbs, the vegetables, the fruits. You saw everything propitious. They didn't even need clothes because there's nothing to harm them and nothing could. There's nothing there to harm them, even if it couldn't harm. Now it says right here, the earth is going to bring it forth. All right. Let's go to the book of Hebrews again, the 6th chapter, which is the end time. Let's go on to perfection. They couldn't do it because it wasn't time. Now what, at the time of perfection, conclusion, finishing, polishing off, all over, can't add a word, can't take a word. It's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the word of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, to ever renew them again to repentance. They can never change their minds, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now it tells you right there at the end time, this is going to happen. They are literally going to crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. And according to the book of Romans, I think it's the first chapter, maybe the fourth verse, he's the Son of God according to the power of the resurrection. So you see right here, they're going to see the Son of God revealed in the power of the resurrection, and they're going to say, we don't want him. We're not interested. That's the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and beareth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. All right. Let's go to the book now of Matthew. Now, we're not playing with Scripture. We're taking it Scripture by Scripture as I see this coming out. In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, John says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. They don't do it. Hebrews 6. And think not to say within yourselves. Now think not to say. What is repentance? A change of mind where your thinking is. John is trying to get them to repent. Now he said, and don't think to say within yourselves, when the manifestation of God comes to you, don't have any thoughts on the subject concerning what you are brought up in. Put them all to one side like Paul said, I count them but dung or manure, and look at what is there now. Now, you can't get the church to do this. I couldn't get some people sitting in here some time ago to do this. I don't have any hope of converting the world. I just hope to God I got enough in my heart and enough of God I'm getting it myself. I'm scrambling for manna. I never found where I'm supposed to pick manna for you and you pick manna for me. We better pick it for ourselves and make sure we're loaded up for this day. All right, now listen to me. And think not to say, watch your mind, your repentance. We have Abraham to our father. For I send you that God is able of these stones to raise up children Abraham. And that's the truth because it's going to come in the resurrection. Now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Wherefore, every tree that which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge the floor, gather his wheat in the garner, but burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now you can see what you are looking at right here is the fact that if it is not a predestinated word of God and a predestinated seed, it's going to bring forth that which is contrary to the word of God. It's going to bring forth that which it said. It'll bear its own fruit. And it is going to be destroyed. Now, I want you to just think of something here. And that is, because of that fall, in Genesis 3, we read in the verse 18 there, that thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And connecting that to Hebrews 6, you find here that the people are spoken of as God's husbandry as a field. Now the point is this. What has been planted in your earth because you're part of the earth? What is planted in here? Remember, your body can be a temple of the Holy Ghost and house the Word, making you and that Word one. Absolutely, like Brother Branham said, three times the Word of God's fulfilled in that deal. I'm in the Father, you and me, and I and you. Happened at Pentecost, happens today, happens at the White Throne. The interim period right there is the same thing you're looking at. Now, the thing is, what is in you of the Word of God, and if it's a truly revealed Word of God, you are going to bring forth, as it says in Hebrews here, the sixth chapter, that manifestation that the Word should bring forth in the individual, which is number one, 100% standing with the Word. Then that word will come forth and bear you. to your destination as you bore that word. Now, I want you to hold this in mind. We're going to go back to Romans, the first chapter. We've read this many, many times. We're going to read it again. All this goes together, so just hang in here with me. All right. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, verse 16, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. In other words, God cannot save anybody apart from his word, period. Paul's word. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. And there's no such thing as a discontinuing of this. It's got to be the word. For the wrath of God is revealed in heaven against all ungodliness and the righteousness of men who hold back the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed unto them. For the invisible things of him, the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead. They are without excuse. What about today, atheism? Your kids can't learn about God in church, in school. They can't pray. They can't do anything. The only science classes, and so-called, are what the government wants, what the teachers want. They don't care two bits about what the parents want, or any kind of a believer wants. They've got to learn about evolution. Oh, that is correct. You can't, that's it. Now watch, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. He came vain in their imagination, and then sophists, you know, smart alecks, and wise in their own reasonings, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in an image made like to a corruptible man. So therefore, man today is his own God. And to birds, you got them right today. Heathen countries still believe that junk. Wherefore, God gave them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Now, where do you find the people that are clean? This is talking morals and sexual. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. That's your gaze. Lesbians and homosexuals. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They seem to go along with the men, whatever the men want. I can't understand. This is the most horrible thing in the world. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of women burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. And now watch. And receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. I'll ask a question. What did this? You say sex. No, you're wrong. Going off the word did it. And it involved sex. Now I ask you a question. How do you get cancer? Well, everybody's got a cancer cell in them. When the right door is open, you got cancer. How do you get TB? Everybody's got a TB cell. Right. So the right door is open. The curse causes cannot come. Open the door, get TB, right? You got to be living a certain way. I ask you a question, where does AIDS come from? It's already in you. Where does syphilis come from? It's already there to mutate. It's all there. You open the door. That's why, as I said a while ago, they can't find where syphilis came from. Oh, they said, Columbus and people brought it from America and took it to Europe. That's a lie. They finally found out. Nobody knows where it come from. I'm telling you where it come from. The seed is in the soil, like the briars and the tares, to tear you down. And every evil thing in this world is already in people, ready to come forth. And that's why they can't find where syphilis came from, because the law of God says, you start doing this, and you watch what happens in your bodies, you will have this thing. Now, it's mutated to the point. And I got the little thing at my home. I'm going to run it through to see if it's as my friend said it was. If it is, I'll bring it in and play it to you. Where they found 70 children right now in America, and the interview was in Chicago, they cannot find how this boy has AIDS because his parents are clean, he is clean, there is nobody around him that is not clean. He's never had needles, never had drugs, never had a transfusion. 70 right now, they got AIDS. Where'd they get it? right here, but I'm telling you, listen, brother, sister, there's no big mystery if you just believe the word of Almighty God. Now, all of these are going to burn. Every briar, every thistle, and that's why Brother Branham said, there'll be flames leave this earth jumping 1,000 miles high to cleanse every germ off of it. So Brother Branham made it up. He spoke under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Not just because Lee Dale says so, because he's backed by Almighty God. Now, we have looked at predestination. And in predestination, we looked at the Word of God in its complete fulfillment because God is behind it. But every plant that God has not planted shall be rooted up. We saw the end of that which was not the Word of God, or the Word of God perverted, which no longer is the Word of God. Comes creeds and dogmas of man. Now, we're at the end time and harvest. This all must be manifested. So, Brother Branham is going to tell us about and reveal the teaching ministry and tell us how two more seeds are in the earth bearing bumper crops. So, we're going to start back now. Reading to you on page 42. All right. Paragraph B. So believers of the Word and Spirit must be one. You get it? Believers, the Word and the Spirit are absolutely one. You don't do your own thinking. You don't use your own mind. Isn't that wonderful? Now right there, he said, isn't that great? And I said, you mean I ain't got a thing coming? You know, people that talk that way are like the car that Henry Ford made. And the Model T said, Henry, ain't you glad I'm here because actually I produced myself? Well, my contribution, Henry, you'd be nothing. I just don't understand people. I'm telling you honestly. Now, Brother Graham is right. Isn't that wonderful? You can cease from your own thinking, your questions, your fears, your doubts, your problems. You can have rest. The mind that's in Christ is in you, see? The mind's in Christ. And you'll take the Word just like He did because He was the Word. Now, He's the only begotten, the great Word. We are little chips of stone. Like He said to Peter. He said, you've got the revelation, which is the big rock, and you're a little pebble, a little chunk of it. All right. And if the mind of Christ is in you, you are the Word. You are God's living Word. Representatives of him here on earth. That's right, continuing the work. The church should be that way. Right away, the Pentecostal mind instantly goes to works. And they think of gifts and things that they can produce as though that is it. That is not it. I would sooner take the Baptist, who goes to the Word a whole lot quicker than the Pentecostals go to the Word. And I would like to be like the Catholic, at least he claims he does, to believe the Pope. And he calls himself the representative of Christ, which he certainly is not. But there is such a thing as God sending prophets who do represent him, and I would sooner go that way than anything in all the world. That my thinking might be like his. You are the living Word of God, representatives here. Now watch. And when so, the Bible is manifested again, like in the early days of the disciples, just like the disciples, the Bible is living again in you. Now watch right there. He said, at the time you see the Bible carried back to the beginning, And remember, you don't dare just go back to Pentecost and think you can sit there. You've got to go to Paul. Because he was the vindicated, the prophet and apostle to the Gentiles. And it was confirmed by God that he was. Now you go back there, and Brother Branham says, and when so, the Bible is manifested again like in the early days of the disciples, just like the disciples, the Bible is living in you again. Now, we are come to the interim period where Adam and Eve are sitting fresh in this garden, and the decision is made. Which way will you go? Will you go with the seed and follow the Word, or will you go off the Word and go here into error? And consequently into degradation and complete destruction, because the earth is going to burn and everybody and everything on it. Now, Brother Branham sets that period, and that period is the interim period. And what is the interim period? The Bible manifested again, like in the early days of the disciples, and remember, men like Lindsay, Gordon Lindsay, and those other men in the Pentecostal era, back in 1900, particularly, in 46, but even previous, they're the ones who said Bible days are here again, based on Brother Branham's ministry. I wrote a book, A Man Sent from God. But they repudiated that the minute that Brother Branham came with the Word, which the Word alone is what counts. And especially the true revelation. So Brother Branham says, so today, you are looking at me and my ministry, the same man that said when they asked him, what did Jesus mean when he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Would you believe that Brother Branham said he was Jesus Christ? Don't be ridiculous. He was just quoting from Hebrews, God in the prophets, God in Moses, God in the Apostle Paul. God to the people on the grounds of what God indicated, and God designated, and God performed. But you think you get people to believe it? Not at all. All right. And when so, the Bible is manifested again, like in the early days of Christ. Now watch where he's putting it now. The appearing of the Son of Man, or the appearing of Christ, the Son of Man ministry, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. See, because you are a predestinated seed, just like Christ was. And when the rain falls on the seed, the life produces itself. Same prophet said, all you need is a properly germatized seed in the properly fertilized ground. Let the sun and the rain come, you will have that product. You are a predestinated seed, just like Christ was. And remember, he said the only difference in your coming and his was you bypassed the form, the theophonic form, as he called it, which is a spirit body or a word body, which was produced actually by the Spirit of Almighty God, the life itself there. And where Jesus said, restore me the glory I had in the beginning with you, positively said there's no difference except you bypassed that. That's why you can't remember these things. And when the rain falls on the seed, the life produces itself. When the Holy Spirit falls, when it fell on those seeds that Jesus said that he chose them when? Before the foundation of the world. Then they were predestinated seeds. That's absolutely true. Then here, they hauled themselves up in the upper room, these seeds, the Word, and the Word was lying on there with or in them, you see, without life in it. And already ready to take shape, but couldn't until the water hit it. All of a sudden there came a sound from heaven as the water began to gush down, and it actually filled all the house that they were sitting, and the seeds began to grow, and they began to manifest themselves, the Word of God being manifested. Now, in the light of the fact that they knew that Bible days had returned, and they knew that Brother Branham had a ministry that was vindicated as nobody else had, this brought about, as Brother Branham called, the revival from the presence of God, which was a tremendous healing revival, of which he said there cannot be a genuine healing revival unless there's a brand new message, because God does not vindicate the same tired old message. Can't do it. Can't do it. All right. Now, we're getting into the place. How many minutes we got?
to anybody. We'll just read a bit here and quit. Now, this great ministry that Brother Branham had began to sweep the world and brought forth many, many people, of which there were two kinds. Those that believed in the power of God from on high, which were Pentecostals, and those that they could get induced to believe as they did in the other denominations. And then you get the kind like Billy Graham, they're strictly denominational, and they just talk word, 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 as though they have it all, and there's no proof they got it right. Any more than the Pentecostals say they got it right because they got a few gifts of spirit. Now, Brother Branham talks about this, and he says, all right, why then has the great revival fires let up, L-E-T? Why have they diminished? Why aren't we having what we used to have? In spite of the fact, he says, I'm telling you about the original seed, getting back to the original word, and I'm vindicated here to prove through Almighty God that this is the truth, being a prophet. All right. Now, I've got to call names. I won't do it after this unless God tells me to. But I've got to call names. I've got to say things that I don't want to say, but in order to make this clear. You see now where we're getting to. The reason I have done what I have done, I believe this is the Word. And I believe that Christ has a church. And the church is the field, the husbandry, the field. We'll get to that after a while. And you've got to get the Word in the field before the Spirit can ever do anything. Now, that's what he's telling you right there. Hey, look, you've got to get this seed right, this Word right, or it isn't going to come forth according to what God said. But as soon as you get it right, no problem. Why then have the revival fires lit up? You don't hear any much more about Billy Graham, the great evangelist. Oral Roberts is not burning the country up like he used to. My meetings are not even heard of. There are just three. Nobody just mentions two. So he's the third one. What's the matter? Now we're going to get some real deep teaching. I'm going to have to just use it now. And if this tape should fall into the hands of Billy Graham or Roberts, I want you to know, my brethren, I'm not disregarding you. I'm taking myself, if you notice, in there as your fellow brother in the gospel. And I think after this you'll have a better understanding, brethren, of why I have done what I've done. And I hope that I find grace in the sight of God and before you in being honest and truthful and tell you the reasons why. Billy Graham, the word was burning here not long ago, Billy Graham. You seldom hear of it now. He's still going, but what's the matter? Oral Roberts was just burning the earth up, dying down. Tommy Osborne, all godly men. What's happened? Believing that God called me for a ministry, what's happened to mine? Now, here's going to answer some question. What happened? I remember in 1962, he said, my ministry declared that he is here. You say, Brother Branham, yours is the deadest of all of them. That's true. That's right. Billy Graham's more heard of than I am, and Billy is more heard of than Oral. Oral is more heard of in one day, and I'm a 6 months. Tommy Ogden, Tommy Hicks, all godly men, they're more heard of than I am. So, as far as that turns, mine's further away than all of them. What happened? Brother Branham, you saying that you telling us that you actually believe the word and everything? Well, what's happened to you then? What's taken place? That's what we want to know. All right, put it down in your minds now. Pull down the umbrella, shake the rain off, open up your heart just a minute and listen. Remember the Bible in Genesis, the first chapter we read to base our thoughts for the day, is every seed after its kind. It will have to bring forth after its kind. That's right. Every seed will have to bring forth. And remember, the earth is full of seeds, and the rain makes it bring forth after its kind. And it doesn't matter if it's a weed seed, a briar, or anything else, or a turnip. Now, you're talking about people. What's sown in you? What has been sown in you? What do you have in you to receive what is sown today by preaching? Now, that's the secret. That's what Jesus said. He said, you don't believe my word because there's no place in you for my word. And if there's there's only one tiny place, either for the word or against the word. Can't sit on the fence. I know a lot of folks tried it. You can't get away from around here. It won't work. I believe it's near the harvest time. And he preached the whole sermon on that, flashing red lights. Don't you believe it? You all agree with that. We are near the harvest time. Now, the seeds have been planted. That's what's the matter with us. The seeds have been planted. Oh, God, I wish you could see what passed before me then. See, this is a man with visions. The seeds have been planted. Remember, there is a planting time, then there has to be a harvest time. They know. They said so. All right. Now, there have been three different kinds of seed planted. A denominational, Billy Graham. He was the head planter. Oral Roberts for the Pentecostals. The Pentecostal seeds have been planted. I'm talking about organization now. Then the Word's been planted. That's the third one. Who'd it come from? Brother Branham. Now, you'll have to understand, folks, I am not saying this anymore unless God tells me. I want you to get this good and clear. Three seeds, T-H-R-E-E seeds, have been planted. That's the reason the planting is just about over. See? All over. Seeds must be planted before the rain falls. Is that right? Or otherwise, the Spirit. Otherwise, before the Spirit comes now to bring it to a harvest. See? Now you're going to disagree there, but hold on just a minute. Seeds must be planted and then the rain falls to... Is that right? Is there anybody in here that understands Hebrew, knows Hebrew words? All right. You look it up, and if you want to. Now, we're hearing so much of, and so many organizations and everything else talking about we're in the latter rain. Nonsense. No such a thing. Now, remember, he also made a statement the latter rain started back in 1906, designating the Pentecostal movement. But we're going to see here a difference again in designation of terms wherein there can be a compound meaning, and we'll have to swing over to this with our definitive thinking as never before concerning the latter rain. All right, there's a latter rain, because remember, you're supposed to receive the former rain at the time of the latter rain, and that's the time that the reaper catches up with the sower. See, the harvester catches up with the one that's sowing. A quick, short work, and it's all over. That's where you get Hebrew 6. That sudden, tremendous move of God, the rain that falleth off from heaven, that word of God that is there, that God himself waters and brings forth. Okay, we're hearing about the latter rain. Nonsense, no such a thing. Now, something's happening. I can see it just passing before me. Done caught the Spirit, see, amen. I know this is truth. It's thus saith the Lord. The vision, see, just moving and coming. Can't hardly get it down here. Every time I look, I see just moving up in front of me and breaking off and move this way and that way. I've been trying to watch some fellows down there. Why? To get his mind off the vision. Try to get concentrating. Look away somewhere else. All right, let's go back and try it again. All right, I believe that it is near the harvest time. The seeds have been planted. Denominational seeds of the churches such as the Evangelicals, like Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Pentecostal seeds have been planted in the Pentecostal organization by great men like Oral Roberts, Tommy Hicks, Tommy Osborne, great men of God. See? And I believe that the Word of God has been planted, unadulterated, away from any of these organizations. That's what's the matter. In other words, the great manifestations are all over because those manifestations were to attract the people to what word they had. And Brother Branham attracted the true seed believers, Graham attracted the denominational, and Roberts and those men attracted the Pentecostals. And remember, there's one on the word and two off the word. Now, the seed plant must have water before it can grow. It must have water to fall before the seed that's been planted can grow. Now, well, you say, Brother Branham, there's been our. I know that's right. Catching your thought right now. You see, you couldn't hide if you tried. All right, so be careful what you're thinking. Now, the seed must be planted, then it must have water in order to grow. Now, you say, well, Brother Branham, I'm going to express your thoughts on there. We've had the water, so be it that's correct. You have had the water. Did you ever plant cabbage or anything or seeds or something like that, like usually they haven't any water and you just pour a little water on it? In other words, he's telling you right here, you can make a lot of things work. And you can make it look mighty good. And you can say, I got the real thing, but it isn't. See, people can operate gifts and a lot of things and operate big meetings on psychology and pulling on heartstrings and everything else, but it doesn't mean they got it. They're just pouring water on the cabbage. Man's doing it. In other words, he's telling you there's something real. Number one, the Word. Number two, the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be a people, a believer, that's word and spirit believer. You got to get back there. Now, the Bible evidence proves that Brother Branham had the proper seed. All right, now wait. But what did we have in that planting time? The former rain? Oh, you say, Brother Branham. Nonsense. Just wait a minute. You take the word former in Joel 2 and look at it and see the Hebrew word. If you want to write it down, it's M-O-U-R-E-H, Mora. And get the Hebrew word and interpret and see what Mora means, teaching. The teaching rain has gone forth. The denominational rain has gone forth. 1 million more and 44 Baptists and so on, so on, so on, some members in the church. Oral Roberts and those brothers with Pentecostal move. And he calls the economic, which they aren't, the money, you know, the golden calf. Or the great Pentecostal move and moved up into the millions. Now, was he talking about millions of people or dollars? I'm not sure. It could be both. Because remember, they got the golden calf scheme. See, that's right. And the seed has gone forth, the word, for the minority, the group. So you got word, and you got mutilated word. Creeds and dogmas. Now watch. Remember the word mora means teaching, the former rain. It says the mora rain, the teaching rain. Teaching rain went forth. Billy Graham has struck the world. The Pentecostal struck the world, and the word has struck the world. Now, what's the matter now? She's now waiting for the latter rain. That's when she produces her fruit. Oh, I hope you get it. In other words, there's just one thing people are waiting for, as Brother Branham said, is the dynamics to fall on the mechanics. And if you don't have the right mechanics, you're going to blow up. You'll die here on earth. Now, see, that's what people are waiting for. This is where they don't understand Brother Branham's message and my teaching his message, because they won't listen to him. They don't listen to me. I'm not telling anybody she's listening. That's their business. She's now waiting for the latter rain, and when she produces her fruit, oh, I hope you get it. Then the kind of seed you have planted in your field will be the kind of crop you will reap. If the denominations want more members, that's what they're going to get. That's what they have gotten. The Pentecostals want more Pentecost. That's what they're going to get, right. But the Word's going to produce sons and daughters of God. That's coming too. Watch. Look at that great latter rain supposed to be done. How they would run over the walls and leap over, and how there'd be an army coming. Now, he said that's the bride in Joel. Just wait a minute. The kind of crop you'll get is the kind of seed you put in your field. All right, two denominational kinds, you understand? The two denominational kinds will unite together to go to Sodom, but the word will stay with the elected, the royal seed. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Two angels went down, two anointed ministers went down to Sodom to try to bring out a man that was backslidden, had a little speck of God about him, and his wife, his bride. You know what happened to her. She was disgraced. And look at his daughters. Look at what it hatched. Incest, you see. Hatched out after they got out. There's always a hair in the biscuit. You know that's right. Excuse that expression, but you know a gaggy thing. Wants to make you gag on it, you know? It always was, so we know now. Now, you can't deny God's word, but here was one that stayed with Abraham that gave a sign. That gave a sign. Is that right? As far as we're going to go, but I hope you begin to see some things now in predestination. Everything is going to come to whatever word is there. And where's the one word going to go? Right to New Jerusalem. Where's the rest going to go? To the lake of fire. Well, first of all, it'll go to the white throne to see if it goes to the lake of fire, whether it's allowed in, because you're going to have foolish virgins there. So, all right, that's what you're looking at here. We'll go into this Wednesday night. This is getting good reading, because I can take you right back to Ephesians chapter 1, and there you'll see the utter wisdom of God, and the revealed word brings you right to the resurrection. What's doing it? The Spirit of God. And what is here now? The same one that came here to bring the word is here right now to anoint it and put us in a resurrection and get us out of here. Come on, that's exactly what it's all about. But you can't get off this word. One word, you're out. So I'm only believe means the truth, and that's it. Let's rise and be dismayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we have in this last day something which brings the Word of God to a beautiful understanding, something, Lord, that we are well aware of, that we do not resist, that we concur and we admit to,
at least in the understanding that here is something that we can look at and know there is someone talking back, even as John turned, as he was a scriptural voice. We believe, Lord, we have been in the same position and are in that same position to look at a word which has been vindicated, true to us. The same word the Apostle Paul has said, one day the world's going to be judged by my gospel through Christ Jesus. The same one who said, those at the end time are going to be taken out of here, given a special treatment, resurrection power, go to the wedding supper on the grounds of the same word being believed and not a perverted word, which was already perverted at the time of the Corinthians when the people had already been impregnated with a false understanding. So, Lord, we believe we know where we stand on the true mechanics of the word. And believing, Lord, that we are receiving truth, which are the true mechanics, we believe, Lord God, in heaven that the true dynamics, also being here, will activate that very word of God, bringing us together into that position of oneness. And surely, Lord, that fulfills the word that you have said way back to roughly 2,000 years ago, and there will be a bride that is placed and a bride taken away. Father in heaven, we know that we can bend our minds toward this if we so desire, bringing our minds into captivity to the word of Almighty God, because we know it is true. Help us, Lord, to see the burden of responsibility in this particular error can and does lie upon us to the extent that we know it is true, therefore bringing our minds under it. And that can be done, because that certainly shows forth our faith in you, Lord, which is true, which we have said, Lord, and we hope it is not simply a saying of our mouth, live, die, sink, and swim, we don't have a thing coming. Lord, if it's true, then our minds, it is wonderful, because then our minds are suffused with the word of God, the door having been opened to it. Help your people, Lord, to receive this to such an extent that day by day they'll walk in the glow and the wonderment of it. And even bodies brought in subjection, Lord God, we know that is what really counts. It's not a healing ministry as though someone were walking amongst us to heal, because we know the great healer is here, and the healing lies in that word, Lord, even as you sent your word to heal them. Let it be also amongst us, Lord, your healing, and the progression there in our bodies, because the life therein is within us. Grant us, Lord, that we may diligently seek as never before, and hearing your voice and your admonition within us, encouragings on and on, with such strident tones, as it were, not the slight calling of the whisper of the wind or of a dove, but strident calls, Lord, urging us on to the end, Lord, that we might never lag or never stay behind, but move on, even as Brother Branham already mentioned, this invincible army leaping over walls. That's what a bride is, getting caught away. So, Father, help us as this end hour. We know, Lord, even to ask you to help us is redundant, except in the sense that we may say, Lord, as has been said before, as the man who said, I believe, help mine unbelief. And in these things, Lord, also we ask then, that we be so encouraged, somehow not asking for any more than we got, but just that life within it. So encourage us, Lord, to now be avid seekers of further power of that life released in us until the very day we're caught away. Be with your people, therefore, and help them in their understanding, their minds, to know that the grace of God is with them and upon them, and they are part of your host, Lord, which, whether the people can number or not, we know that you do number, and you know all their names and bring them forth. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.